Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Cast to the Past, the time traveling podcast where we take a look at video games a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away to see if they're still worth playing. My name's Josh.
And I'm Tom. And yeah, we're going to be taking apart piece by piece a specific game today and then, you know, putting it back together, maybe according to the instructions or maybe just however the hell we want. What game is it, Josh?
Well, see, today is a compound word, Tom. Today we got Legos and we got Star Wars. And when you put them together, you get Lego Star Wars, the complete saga.
Yes, the peanut butter and chocolate of video game tie-in releases. I'm excited to talk about this one. This game is a union between two standalone Lego titles. This comprises Lego Star Wars, the video game, and Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. And Josh, do you want me to get a little bit more specific? Do you want some nitty gritty?
The only way you can get more specific is if you give me that nitty gritty.
Okay.
So take it away, Tom.
Here we go. This was developed by Traveler's Tales, the big old
TT Games, baby! Games.
And published by LucasArts, rest in peace, and released on November 6, 2007. And the platforms this has graced include the Android, iOS, Microsoft Windows, Nintendo DS, Mac, PlayStation 3, Wii, Xbox 360. It's available on Steam and a lot of other digital storefronts right now. This is a game based off of not just the Star Wars films, but the Lego theme, Lego Star Wars. Josh, Lego, popular building bricks. Best toy ever?
Definitely a top five toy, yeah.
Top five toys? Okay, what else we got in there?
So I would probably put like puzzles in there.
Are Legos not puzzles?
No, not really, because you don't need an instruction. They don't need to go in any particular way.
Okay, fair.
They don't need to fit just right.
So we got Lego, we got puzzles.
We got Monopoly.
Not board games, just Monopoly?
Just Monopoly.
Okay, balls?
Balls can go in there.
Okay. And five, what's the fifth toy?
Nerf guns.
Nerf guns. Okay. So we've got Legos, puzzles, balls, Nerf guns. And I'm sorry, what was the fifth?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Just Monopoly. Okay. So there you have it. The top five.
It's almost like a Monopoly on board games.
The top five toys of all time. It's official. But yes, who doesn't love a good Lego set? And who doesn't love a good Lego video game? Josh, what is your experience with Lego video games?
So my first Lego video game was back on the Nintendo 64.
Yes.
It was. I know. It's crazy. And it's one of my favorite Nintendo 64 games. Even more of a gasp. I know. Take it for what it is. It was, I believe it was called Lego Racers or something along those lines. Okay. So it was a racing game, very similar to like Mario Kart or however, you know, your kart style games, but you got to build your own race cars out of Lego pieces. And depending on how you built them was depending on how fast they went or what they could do in the game. And I loved it. I thought it was great because not only was, you know, you had Mario Kart. Yeah. But what if you could build your own Mario Kart? What if you had, what if you could have fun with Mario Kart?
I don't know.
Mario Kart 64. Mario Kart 64.
I mean, look, there are a lot of kart racing games on the N64 better than Mario Kart 64. In fact, every kart racing game on the N64 is better than Mario Kart 64. Because newsflash, people, Mario Kart 64 is the Super Weenie Hut Juniors of Mario Kart games. All right? Let's just be clear here.
Look at me. I'm not even the one that said that.
I said it. A significant one for me. Josh, have you ever played Lego Island Adventure?
No.
It's a first person, almost open world kind of exploration game. Not entirely open world, but you explore this island, Lego Island, and there's a crook on the loose. His name's the Brickster, and he's taken down buildings bit by bit, and you've got to stop him before he destroys the whole island. The Brickster has a pizza addiction, so you kind of play into his thirst for a good slice in order to capture him. Friend of the show, Trippin, and I, well, Trippin had it on his PC, basically. So anytime I would go over to his house, I was like, yo, Lego Island? And Trippin, I think, eventually got sick of it. He was like, oh, Lego Island. Oh, my God. But beyond
so,
that,
so was okay. that your first experience into a Lego game though?
That might have been my first experience. Yeah, okay. I can't really remember a previous one, but the Lego games and how do I say this? So the Lego toy line always really popular. Had a lot of iconic sets. What's the kind of earliest set you ever remember getting something from? Were you a pirate kid? Man. Were you castle? Space? Lego space?
Honestly, I think it was more of the castle sets. Yeah. Okay. I remember growing up, my brother always had the Fisher Price castle stuff. And I was like, Fisher Price, those are baby toys. I'm playing with Legos.
Yeah,
I think it was a cross between like the castle stuff, like the medieval times, and like ninjas. So okay. You know, what a combination of two things.
Guys with swords, just different periods of history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I dabbled in castle first. My cousins had some of the bigger castle sets and I would get like the little ones. So those were always, you know, just beloved childhood classics. So Lego, of course, riding a wave of popularity. And then in 1999, they somehow got more popular when they signed a licensing deal for one of the other most popular toy lines of all time. Josh, what was that?
Diplo.
Lego Diplo. They already owned that, you fool.
Oh. Star Wars,
yes. The first ever licensed Lego theme. Think about that. Think about the world we live in now where Lego does tie-ins with nearly everything. Back then, Star Wars was the first.
That's crazy. It's not like so long ago either.
I mean, it's about 23 years ago. But...
No, but you think about Lego's been around forever.
Since about the 50s, I believe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it took them 40 plus years to get a licensing agreement to make Legos for other style, like for licenses. Like, it's crazy.
How do you feel about that? That Lego has kind of pivoted a lot more towards licensed stuff.
I don't mind it because they still have their Lego creations. They still have their Lego, you know, they have so many different categories of Lego stuff out there, right? They have the stuff for the adults. They have the stuff for kids. They have the stuff for like teenagers and stuff like that. They have the stuff for collectors. They have the stuff for pop culture enthusiasts. There's something in Lego for everybody.
Sure.
You have your sports enthusiasts, your Disney enthusiasts, your Marvel enthusiasts, your DC enthusiasts. Like there's something out there for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, you know, you got to chase trends. You got to go where the money is. Lego is a company. I just do kind of miss the kind of simple creativity of, you know, the pirate line or, you know, the castle line. Like, you don't see those anymore. If you want a castle, you got to get Hogwarts Castle. You know, if you want to go into space, you got to buy Lego Star Wars. Like, I remember they would produce some really creative original sci-fi concepts. And then, you know, if you got sick of the pre-built one, you just took it apart and made your own UFOs and spaceships and stuff. So a little bit of a nostalgia for the old days. But of course, the themed sets they do produce, they're top notch. I found online that as of 2021, there have been 842 sets produced in the Lego Star Wars theme. Have you, Josh, ever owned any Lego Star Wars sets?
No.
Really?
No, I haven't. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I didn't really, like, when I was a kid, I had Legos, but it was never like I wanted Legos. It was like I just got Legos because I was a kid. Hey, you're a kid. These are kids' toys. Enjoy them. I wasn't one of those kids.
Okay.
Like, I was creative, and like, but I was mainly into action figures and video games. And fair. Growing up, like, I was more into arts and crafts stuff and video games. And then getting older, I was into strictly video games. And then, like, now more recently, I've gotten into Legos. And it was only because of video games. That's right, Tom. You're correct. Yes. With the Mario set that was released, with the NES set that was released, with the N64 block set that was released, I have collected a lot of Lego sets. And now, you know, there's a lot out there that I'm looking to get. The Ghostbusters Ecto-1, you know, the Back to the Future DeLorean. There's a lot of stuff out there that I want to collect and I want to get. And it is very relaxing and therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100% on that. Yes.
But it's one of those things that I kind of never focused on that as a kid, because there were so many other things out there in the world, you know, to draw my attention. But it's nice, though, that it never went away, because you can always just experience it.
Well said. Well said. And I agree. I get you completely there. For me, Lego has kind of been a constant presence in my life, so I have dabbled in the Star Wars sets. I never had too many big Star Wars sets. I could usually only afford some middle-tier ones. I remember I had General Grievous's fighter from Revenge of the Sith. The only big one I got was a Christmas present. I got the original Pod Racer set, where you got Anakin's Pod Racer, Sebulba's, and then I want to say... what was his name? Odie Mandrell.
Ooh.
And, man, like, you know, in my teenage years where I was like, toys are dumb, I, like, gave, like, my entire Lego bin away to a thrift store. And so all that stuff was mixed into it. So a little heartbreaking there. But I still dabble from time to time. I have, literally right here on my desk, I have a mini. They sell these in grab bags in supermarkets or Targets. This is Kylo Ren's shuttle from the sequel trilogy, the kind of evolution on the Imperial transport that they had in the new series. So, you know, not too many, but, you know, the ones I like, I really try to go after.
But Tom, the main reason that we're here is for the video game.
Of course.
Video. What video game?
Lego Star Wars, The Complete Saga. To talk about that, we have to talk about the fact that, again, this is based off two games, and the first of which came out in 2005. It was Lego Star Wars, The Video Game, based around the prequel trilogy. This is the first time there's ever been like kind of like a full-blown narrative-driven Lego adventure based off something. Now, 2005, what happened in Star Wars that year, Josh?
Revenge of the Sith came out, baby.
Yes, it did. Lego Star Wars joined a couple other video games in hyping the release of that film. One we've already covered on the show. Josh, what was that?
The Force Unleashed?
Republic Commando, silly.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You do the show for so long. You forget your backlog. Yep, but you had Republic Commando with the little General Grievous cameo.
Exactly. Well, when you talk about little General Grievous, he was hyped up in that game, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It was the reveal. You were going to be able to see him. You don't say a little General Grievous cameo.
Well, I mean, they hyped him up and you see him like, he's like, he has like the Sasquatch cameo. He kind of like turns around and then goes, oh, and just keeps walking. Check out our episode on that for more details. But there was one more Revenge of the Sith themed video game. Josh, do you know what that is?
That was Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Yep, the official tie-in game. Do you remember what was special about that game?
I know it had two endings.
The console versions did. Do you know what the alternate ending was?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Anakin won.
Mm-hmm. You get to,
and I played it. It was great.
Oh,
great game.
I played it too. It's actually a very good tie-in game, and that ending is kind of hilariously awesome. Anakin beats Obi-Wan and then kills the Emperor, and he's like, "I win." So yeah, a lot of hype for Star Wars in 2005, and Lego Star Wars the video game was part of that. Did you play Lego Star Wars the video game before it was repackaged into the Complete Saga, Josh?
Yeah, I played both.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, what did you think in 2005 when you played it?
I thought it was a fun little, just simple game. You know what I mean? Like, it was a family game. It was a fun couch co-op game. It was a great game for two people to sit down and just go through and just have fun experiencing episode 1 through 3. And then, a year later, experiencing episode 4, 5, and 6. Right? And that honestly, like, they were fun and they were enjoyable games. And I was like, okay, that's it. Like, we're just playing through the games as adorable little Lego characters and you're building stuff. And like, it was a simplistic slapstick humor that worked, that didn't overstay its welcome. And I appreciated that, because like, you have movies and you have TV shows and stuff that do slapstick humor, and you're like, okay, I roll. All right, fart joke here. All right, this, whatever. And like, it's almost annoying, where this was doing it in a childish way that was charming. And I was like, you know what? This game is charming. And that was the best way to describe it.
I get you there. I get you there completely. So I did not play the console version of this in 05 when it came out, but I remember my little brother got the Nintendo DS tie-in. When he was done with it, I kind of fiddled around with it. And I was impressed, even for like a DS game, how much fun you could wrangle out of it. It was kind of played in an isometric 2.5D perspective, like Tunic can be seen, just, you know, with DS quality graphics. And then I missed Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy, didn't play that. But when these both came together in the complete saga, I picked it up. And you talk about charm and delight. That's what this game has in spades. So Traveler's Tales combined the two games into one package, obviously due to the success of them, and obviously to give them a little bit of a graphical polish because we were entering the next generation of consoles with the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. They wanted to give the original 2005 game a little bit of a bump. And beyond that, there's not many changes. It retains the faithful gameplay style. This is like an action platformer, would you say, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Just action platformer, beat 'em up.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. You go through mostly linear levels as either melee-based characters, you know, Jedi, ranged characters, anyone with a blaster. You can be droids, and they're good for getting into secret rooms. You can be specialty kind of characters like bounty hunters because they have their own exclusive areas. And just overall, there's a huge cast of unlockable characters within these games. And I guess I gotta ask, so let's talk about the moment-to-moment gameplay. Like, if you're a melee character, you don't really have too many options in a weird way. Like, I'm not trying to start this off getting too negative about it, but it's very button spammy. Would you disagree?
No, I mean, it is shoot.
Right, right.
that's about it.
It is
every now and then you can jump and shoot. Or if you have a bounty hunter like Boba Fett, you have the jetpack.
Sure.
You're able to hover a little bit, which is a nice combination because certain characters, they kind of blend together. And you get that in certain characters, you know, where like you have R2-D2's hover. Well, you have Boba Fett's hover, but you have Boba Fett shooting where R2-D2 doesn't have that. Like there's a nice little give and take with a lot of combinations that you can have.
Right. That's a good point. I think we have to talk about the combinations and a little bit of the co-op system to give gameplay its credit, because playing on your own, you know, if you're in some of the levels where, say, you're Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, your options are just switch between two Jedis where it's just XXX, jump X. You know, it can get a little old after a while. But when you get into some of the free play modes where you can have like Luke Skywalker and Jango Fett, and then it's like, okay, I'm getting sick of just the Jedi combat, let me be a bounty hunter, then it opens up a little bit. So the gameplay, it's completely functional in a single player mode. I feel like the AI is fine. I don't know about you. In this replay, I had my AI partner. Sometimes he would get stuck in a room. Like, I'd walk.
Yeah. Through. I mean, so when they got stuck, there's only one thing to do about that, and that's to kill them.
Well, kill them if they don't follow you when you come back, but that's kind of the problem. You have to walk back to wherever you left them. You know, it's like a kid at the mall. It's like, oh, I gotta go back to JCPenney's. But there's moments where, like, if you step on a switch and it's a two switch puzzle, the AI will be like, oh, I gotta go over here. You know, it's competent enough. But this game does have a legendary co-op component where at any time in the levels, someone else can pick up the second controller, hit start, and they will become the partner character. I hear a lot of people talk about this game with pleasant memories of those co-op adventures. But, you know, it was funny when you and I were doing some of the co-op and research for this episode, we ran into, what do you want to call it? Like, we basically were hitting the camera barriers at all times because you were like, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go over. And then, yeah, like,
I mean,
Tug of War. That's what I should. Yeah, tug of War is what I
meant to say. One thing when it comes to the Lego games that I cringe at a lot is the ability to focus on where your camera is, or like when you get too far away from each other, how the camera will start to split then, right? And then you have the two different ways, depending on the Lego game that you're playing, where it'll just go into vertical or horizontal mode, or it does that weird shift where the camera will tilt and like shift. And I'm like, I hate that. Oh my God. I hate when it like twists and turns and stuff. Like, why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Yeah, it's very disorienting. I know what you're talking about. And that's a little bit more of a symptom of modern Lego games, because that's how they addressed the camera tug of war problem that existed in the early games. I don't like that in anything. It actually popped up for me in WWE 2K22 recently, where if you get far enough from an opponent in a backstage brawl, yeah, they turn it into a split screen thing. And I'm just like, no, I hate this. Don't do this. You know what I mean? Okay. Just zoom out further. So the story is the story of all six films from the prequels to the original trilogy. You have to play the first mission of Phantom Menace off the bat. And then once you complete that, you can unlock all of them, and then you can do them in any order you want. Are you a purist? Do you go in the right order, Josh?
The first time, yes. After that, when it came through to like other playthroughs of the game, it was, I'm going to go and do maybe episode 1. Then I'll jump to episode 5. Then I'll jump to episode 4. Then 3. Then 6. Then 2. Or never play 2. Or, you know, there's the first time playing through is like, I want to play through it as the complete story. I want to just go through and like, yes, like I came off of playing the other two games prior, and there were changes and there were upgrades and level differences, and they weren't the same cut and paste games that you've played before, which was a nice change of pace, because it was just like, oh, I'm just going to play these other games. Like, these two now $20 games are going to be a $60 game. Like, no. I ain't about that life. Like, they added so much more to this game too. But no, I the first time playing through, you got to play through it as a complete story.
And talking about the story that this delivers, what's the unique angle that this uses to present the Star Wars saga, Josh?
So yeah, and I mean, I mentioned it earlier. Which was, you know, everything's done in slapsticky, mumbly way, where there's no lines of dialogue in this entire game. And it is all ridiculously over the top, kind of mimed to a certain extent, but in a kid friendly, but in a way that adults would understand the humor as well. And like, it's one of those, like, when you're watching an episode of SpongeBob and SpongeBob makes a joke, and then the kids laugh, but the adults understand the real meaning behind the joke. And they're like, I get that.
Absolutely.
But like, that's what the whole thing was. Cause it's like, oh, well, you gotta play to the kids who are playing this game, but you also gotta play to the fans of Star Wars for the past 30 or 40 some years at this time. And it's like, how do you juggle the two differences? And it's like, how do you do that without words?
I think they did this really well. So something I noticed across playing the two sets of trilogies is in the prequels, i.e. the first game, as I think you put it perfectly, miming. It's a miming of the story. It's a lot shorter on a lot of things. It feels like they're just trying to rush through the cinematics to get to the gameplay, almost as if they were like, we don't know how to stretch enough of this out without words. But when you get into the original trilogy, I actually think it gets a lot more creative. That's where the iconic mumbles, as you mentioned, come in, where everyone starts going, you know. But
yeah,
the slapstick is where it really increases, is in the original trilogy. You have funny moments in the prequel cinematics, like after Darth Maul gets cut in half, his legs are still kind of like walking around in the background and things like that. But like in episode 4, just right off the bat, you get jokes like, Leia can't figure out where to put the message disc in R2, so she just opens his head and throws it in like he's a trash can.
Yeah.
Or when Darth Vader needs to tell Luke that he's his father, and after like that one's iconic. He can't figure out what to do. So what does he do, Josh? What does he do?
He holds up a picture of him and Padme pregnant, and he points at it, and then points at Luke, and he's like,
It's so freaking good. And also, can I just say, pregnant Lego Padme is probably one of the funniest things of all time. Like, and both games that you see her in, just this little plastic lump on her front. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
But one thing I want to say, though, right? I want to talk about the characters in the game, and I want to talk about the actual, like, what you're playing, the levels in the game. The people who made this game, I'm just going to say TT. Because, you know, when it pops up on the screen, it's TT Games.
Sure.
They went ahead and they took so much attention to detail and they made it work, right? Hey, remember that one scene where Jar Jar Binks jumps really high? Well, Jar Jar in this game is going to jump really high. That's the main feature of his character. Hey, do you remember that time where R2-D2 hovered across a platform? Well, that's going to be his main feature in this entire game. Like, they took so much, right? Hey, do you remember that time when they had guns and they shot and they swung from platform to platform? Oh, you might be thinking that that's from episode 4 when they did that. No, they're actually referencing episode 1 where they're standing on the platforms of Naboo and they're shooting up to go up to the next level. Like, there's so much attention to detail to these things that you might not recognize these minor little details expanded to give you so much more personality to each character, to each level, to the point where you are getting every key point to this saga, every key point to these 6 movies in this game. And the times where you have 2 players playing at the same time, let's say, where did Obi-Wan go in episode 2? Kamino, that's right. I don't know. Kamino. I don't know why I didn't say that. How do you do a 2-player game when Obi-Wan was the only character in that scene, in that entire area, right? And astromech droids are perfect backups. Those droids have followed you everywhere. When you're on Dagobah, who followed you? R2-D2, right? So that's a perfect counterpart. It's a perfect 2-player. Like, it's so great that they thought of every way, shape, or form to add a second player. I was overall impressed with the attention to detail for a game like this that they did. And when people say, well, it's just a kid's game, it's a Legos game. No, it is not. They put so much heart into this game. They put more heart into this game than you will see in a lot of AAA games out there.
I'm completely in agreement with you. Not just on the Star Wars details, but I just want to talk real quick about the Lego accuracy, you know, in recreating the spirits of a lot of the sets of that era. You know, some tiny details I picked up on were things that, like the fact that the Tusken Raiders, they were using the kind of classic muskets from the pirate Lego sets because Lego had not gotten that far with like creating accurate blasters and stuff. Same thing with like Han Solo, his blaster is a Wild West Lego revolver because that's just still the era they were playing in. And it was really cool to see details like that. You know, the certain kind of studs and other bricks that were implemented. And can we talk about studs? Can we talk about bricks, man? Josh, are Lego studs the most satisfying collectible in video game history?
It is. So it is, but it's one of the most annoying at the same time.
Interesting. Why do you think it's annoying?
Because as a completionist inside of me, you have to hit every single thing in the room.
Right. Everything is destructible.
Like a game like this, which would normally take me just a couple hours to run through, is taking me 4 or 5 times more the amount because I have to go through and hit or shake every single thing. And I get it. It works. It does what it needs to do. It is a satisfying sound. And when that true Jedi thing pops the top, that is great. But I still got to collect them after I get them.
Oh, wait, you mean after you get true Jedi, you still collect everything?
How else am I going to buy the stuff at the shop, Tom?
Well, okay, good point. And as Josh mentioned, every level has a stud total that once you hit that cap, you get a true Jedi ranking. Then there are power bricks. There are power bricks that you get for hitting True Jedi, and there are power bricks that you get for completing sets. That moves on to the next thing, set pieces. There are 10 pieces of a Lego...
Mini kits.
Mini kits, that's what I meant to call it. Yes, mini kits. There are 10 mini kit pieces throughout each level. Completing all 10 unlocks the vehicle that was being built for vehicle play, and then also gives you a power brick. And the power bricks are highly, highly desirable because you unlock a lot of great perks through getting those. You can make your character build things faster. You can up your score multiplier so that like you can activate x2 or x5 or x10. And then you're getting your true Jedi faster because all the studs are worth double or 5 or 10. There's kind of fast mode where everything goes really fast, or there's super lightsabers where you do extra damage. And these all, of course, can also be unlocked through codes. This is a very code-friendly game. Whatever, like, we talked about this. Cheat codes don't exist anymore. Now it's just mods. Mods are the new cheat codes.
Excuse me, Tom.
Yes, yes.
I was like, actually, technically, Star Wars, the complete Skywalker saga on all modern consoles has cheat codes enabled inside of it.
Good.
To be able to replicate the original LEGO Star Wars saga.
Well, I am an idiot and I should go jump off the roof of my house then. But no, that's excellent to hear. But, you know, it makes it an oddity in today's day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm hmm.
The days before DLC.
So, favorite level in the game. What would you say was the most enjoyable?
Darth Vader.
As in Revenge of the Sith, like the fight?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Reason being, okay, hear me out. Two players playing through, pretty much running and avoiding all of the obstacles. So it's you and your partner, you and your co-op friend, going to the very end in a giant obstacle course to get to the end of the level to have to fight each other at the very end. It turns out that you both are the boss fight at the end of the level. I think that is an awesome thing. And a great second place fight, a great second place level is actually the first level of episode one. I think that is great. I'm just a part of the Trade Federation ship. I think it's a great introduction level and it is a great understanding of what you're going to get yourself into the rest of the game.
I would say mine is probably the Naboo Palace from episode one, because that's the first one where they really outline that there are areas that you can only get into with Sith powers. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's droid pathways, there's bounty hunter pathways. It's one of the biggest levels and it's one of the meatiest levels in terms of, you know, encouraging you to come back and free play and try things again. I really, really dug that. How about this? Least favorite levels or least favorite parts?
Yep. Okay. Least favorite level. That's easy. I don't remember the name of it because I want to blank it out of existence. Star Wars Episode 2, towards the end, the ship flying level where you're on your way to Count Dooku.
I'll just say this. I think most of the vehicle sections in this are ass. Like, unless it's on rails. Unless it's on rails. Like,
yeah, I was like, hold on a second, because I think pod racing was good.
Pod racing was good.
I think the Death Star Trench was good.
Because it's on rails.
Yep.
And like the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, you're on rails. But the free...
And the speeder bike wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but you know, like, anything where you are free flying, like...
Hoth was hard.
Yep. Attack of the Clones, where you're chasing down the assassin, Padme's attempted assassin through Coruscant. Very bad. There's just several where like they put you in these free-flying arenas at this odd camera angle, and like the way you kind of crisscross around in various directions, it's not fun. It's hard to control. And I really did not enjoy it, you know, to a degree where I was like, free play with this crap. Oh, no, thank you. No, I was not into it. So yeah, any of those specific vehicle levels, I'm going to say PU.
I want to say something though, because this might be a bold statement. Playing LEGO Star Wars, the complete saga, or playing LEGO Star Wars, the original, I guess the prequel trilogy one, the first one, I think that's the best way to take in the prequel trilogy in a way that makes it extremely enjoyable. I think playing episode one is extremely fun. I think episode one, the games, like the LEGO game, I think is great. If you have someone play that game and like they'll be like, oh, like this seems like it's gonna be a good movie. And then you show them the movie and they'll be like, but like honestly, if you think about it, right? And then like episode two level/games. Still, I think it's the weakest of the six of them, because it is the weakest of the six movies. And then Revenge of the Sith is a great set of levels, a great set of games. I think this is the best way to take in that prequel trilogy in a way to show someone that there's some good in that trilogy.
It's almost like if you remove George Lucas's dialogue and just keep it to the compelling forward momentum action, it becomes highly entertaining.
It's so weird though, because like playing through it and watching it, I'm like, you know what? Like, I really like episode one. And then thinking about it, like, but no, you don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so weird. Like, I like the Lego universe version of episode one.
I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting theory. I get you completely. The last thing I wanted to talk about real quick before we get into the legacy of these games, I want to talk about difficulty. Now, this game has a mode that said adaptive difficulty in it, which to me says we will adjust this to your skill level. And I just kind of felt like at most it was just upping the damage and health of the baddies, or maybe increasing swarms. I can't really say. But I never struggled too much with this game. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, it's a kid's game and kids are dumb. But like, you know, I think kid's game is a little unfair. I think family game is a little more appropriate in that it's welcoming to everybody of different right. skill levels.
I didn't think it was difficult at all.
Yeah.
Some of the boss fights were a little frustrating, depending on trying to figure out what the game wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you wanted me to build this one particular thing, but I didn't have all the pieces built because I had to blow up that one particular generator to get this last piece to finally be able to build this particular thing to be able to start this next piece to go ahead and knock off one health bar of this boss. Okay, but adaptive difficulty isn't meant for us, right? Like you said earlier, it's meant for the little kid. It's meant for the brother, the sibling, you know, whatever. It, you know, you're playing with, you know, let's say at the time you're 15 and your sibling's 8 years old, right? They're not going to be as up to date in gaming as we are. So the game's going to progressively help them out. Maybe they might get a couple extra hits compared to somebody else than we would.
One last question, Josh. Who was your favorite mm-hmm. character to unlock and play in this game? I hope it's the same. I hope we have the same one. Let's try to do it on the count of three, okay? Let's see if we can get this together. 3, 2, 1. Indiana Jones. Oh, IG-88. Oh. Interesting.
I just love IG-88 because IG-88, a big counterpart, piece of Shadows of the Empire. I do love Indiana Jones. I think it was a great piece. The way that you just unlock him by watching a trailer and then just having to buy him was great too. I think though, like his depth sound and stuff like that is a little too generic. And I think it's cool though. He has the whip, he has the gun. So you can see that they have the pieces for the upcoming game and pretty much just copied and pasted it into this game.
It's like a demo for a future game in this game.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. And I appreciated that they added that as like a tip of the hat, as like a, hey, thanks, George Lucas. Like, I like IG-88. But I mean, there's so many great characters. There's what? 120, 180 some characters in this game, somewhere around there.
I cannot answer that question, but there are a lot.
Okay.
There are a lot of characters.
I'll get the answer for you, okay. Tom. 160
unlockable characters. That's
including Indiana Jones.
It's pretty dang good. But adds to a lot of replay value. You know, if you want to go in and collect them all, you can. It's Pokemon, basically.
If you want to fight Darth Maul with Dak, you can do it.
You want to fight?
It's gonna be hard because he doesn't have any weapons, but you can do it.
If you want to fight General Grievous with Dexter Jetster,
Obi-Wan, my buddy.
So let's get into the legacy of this game. Sold pretty dang well. As of 2017, according to all Wikipedia, this was the best-selling Star Wars game of all time, with sales of $15.29 million. And I almost said copies when I said dollars.
I know.
And then
dollars.
Dollars.
That's Star Wars currency.
I want dollars. And it was the highest selling Lego game of all time until it was passed by what, Josh?
Was that Lego Marvel Superhero?
You are correct. That is the game that passed it. And, you know, let's talk about the Lego games that came after Star Wars. How many other Lego themed tie-in games have you played?
Have I played? Ooh, okay, here we go. Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Marvel Superheroes, I played a little bit of Lego Batman 2. Not one, because I was like, they're going to fix it in the second one. Because I heard there was some problems with the first one.
What? Okay, interesting.
I heard that there were some problems, so I was like, okay, they're going to make a second one. Because it's a Lego game. They're going to make another one. I'm trying to think what other ones I think that was about it, because I didn't really dive too deep into them, because I was like, listen, they hit a home run with Star Wars. I don't need any more, right? Like, I would have loved to see a Back to the Future one, but they didn't do a Back to the Future one. That would have been great, but yeah, who cares? That's fine. No, I mean, I put a lot of hours into Lego Marvel Superheroes. I put more hours into that than I did Lego Star Wars, the complete saga, because I wanted that platinum trophy, and I got that platinum trophy, and that is an amazing game. I'm sorry, it's probably hands down the best Lego game.
All right. Well, well earned with that platinum. So I have also played Lego Marvel Superheroes. I think it is a fantastic game. You talk about achievements. I think the best achievement is if you co-op Johnny Storm with Captain America, yep. And they give you an achievement, yep, referencing Chris Evans playing both of them. I think that's fantastic. But beyond that, I have also played Lego Batman 1. I don't know what problems you might have been referring to. I think it is delightful. It has the look and aesthetics of the animated series, but the soundtrack of the Tim Burton films. And there's just a lot of cool unlockable stuff in there. Very good game, in my opinion. The Lego Harry Potter games, I got...
What's up? Okay, yeah. I played the Lego Harry Potter games.
You seem to have a strong opinion about it. What's up?
Yeah, I do. It's called the lack of 100%, Tom.
Really? Why?
Because there's a glitch in the Lego Harry Potter games. The Lego Harry Potter, the complete one, right?
Yeah.
You know, the one that comes with all of them. I don't know why I'm talking like Macho Man right now, but I'm doing it.
Ooh, Hermione, ooh. Ooh,
okay, listen here, okay. Okay. There was a particular like a mini kit type thing that was in Dumbledore's office, right? In Dumbledore's room or whatever the hell you want to call it. And you had to follow a particular set of things. And once you get to it, it unlocks and it opens. And guess what? It never opened. I did everything in the game and it never opened.
Did they ever patch it?
And they never patched it.
Wow.
Wait, it gets even better. When this game got re-released on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, guess what? They never patched it.
That's dirty.
So the people who are playing right now still aren't going to get that 100% because they never patched it. One more reason that you should poo-poo on the creator of Harry Potter.
This is all her fault. We will not... her. That's all you need to say.
She who should not be named.
Yep. Outside of the ones I play, there have been a lot. We've gotten Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, Lego The Hobbit, Lego Jurassic World, Lego Incredibles came out around the time the Incredibles 2 movie hit theaters, you know?
Lord of the Rings.
Was there a Lord of the Rings or was it just The Hobbit?
It was Lord of the Rings, dang, remember?
Okay.
You told me that I had to buy the Lord of the Rings ones because it was getting delisted.
That's right, and that's why you went and picked them all up, but you are correct. And can we just mention, how many royalty checks does John Williams get for Lego tie-ins? He gets Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Jurassic World. He's probably just sitting on his couch and his wife is just like, you got more Lego money? And he's like, put out the fire. I get so much of that. but yeah. An ever-expanding series. I think the biggest tie-in example, of course, would be Lego Dimensions. And that had the Back to the Future content you're looking for, Josh. Did you ever pick up any of the Dimensions Toys to Life sets or anything like that?
Did I ever pick up the Lego Dimensions, Tom? Tom, do I have every single Lego Dimension figure? Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. But did you actually play the Lego Dimensions game?
It is... an amazing game.
Tell me about it.
It is. Oh, Tom, what if I told you there is a complete story in the opening of the game where Batman thinks that the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz is the Scarecrow from Batman.
It's actually fantastic. I didn't know that.
it's great. So really the story is just a combination of all of the villains through the Lego franchises have kind of come together and are wreaking havoc in different dimensions and trying to merge all the universes together And it's so awesome. It's so great because your main characters are Gandalf, Wildstyle, and Batman. And it's pretty much the three from the Lego movie. And there's some cross between the movie stuff and the game stuff, but it's not like the full, it's not like a continuation to the movie.
Sure. Though. It just kind of helps if you've seen it.
Because you're like, oh, I know that character. Or, hey, that's Benny. I know Benny. Benny likes rocket ships.
Excellent. Right. Well, I don't know. Can you even play it anymore? Like, was the story online based or?
No. It's all single player.
Okay, cool. So I just need to sink a lot of money into all the sets and everything. And then I can.
Well, if you can find the sets, yes.
I'm going to come over to your house and just steal all of them. So. But this, of course, is all the...
You know what? I'll give you... There's one set that I don't have open. I'll give them to you,
Oh,
Tom.
What is it?
Ghostbusters 2016.
I'll play it. I don't know. I've never seen that. You know me. We said this. I'm Ghostbusters agnostic. I'm not fired up the way other people can be. But
I know.
I don't have an opinion on it. But what I do want to get an opinion on is what this has all kind of been building up to. The recent release... this week, as of recording, of Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, a complete rehaul of the Lego tie-in video game format that also incorporates the sequel trilogy. Josh, based off what you've seen and what you've heard, what do you think about what The Skywalker Saga is doing?
It is taking these six games, adding the new trilogy to them, and revamping them a little bit, giving it a little bit a fresher coat of paint, adding some nice ray tracing to the games as well, but also adding a little bit more of like an over the shoulder to some of your gunplay mechanics. It's adding more modern day technical advancements to these games. And is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know. From what I've seen in the reviews, it seems like the new trilogy is the weakest part of this whole game, which I think is pretty par for the course. But at the same time, though, you got to think about when this game was being made, that trilogy was being made too. So they needed to be as faithful as possible, where the original six, they had a little bit more playground, a little room to play around with. You know what I mean? Like, they already had the foundation from three prior games that they were able to goof around with and have fun with. Where this one, it's like, well, we got to get this as close as possible or people are going to get upset. Like, no, we don't need to get this as close as possible. It was proven three times prior. But
so just on what I have observed, one of the things that this game really commits to is something I forgot to talk about in the kind of history of post complete saga Lego games, is that the addition of voice acting and getting a lot more narrative driven. I have never liked it. I'm not trying to be a grumpy old man, but I think once the Lego games got into voice acting over the character driven, visual driven storytelling and gags, it lost a little bit of the magic. Like even Lego Marvel, which has decent voice acting, I'm kind of like, I wish you were all just being fun instead of talking.
Yeah, because it's a lot of nods to the movies, right? Like, for instance, like, let's talk about the Lego Marvel game, right? Like, the opening thing, like, Tony Stark, is anybody want to go get some shawarma? Like, come on, shut up.
Right.
Like, I don't care about that kind of stuff, right? Honestly, in the Lego Marvel one, I think the one that made me laugh the most was Hulk, because he was the closest to the original series, where he was like more grunts, more like one off like sentences and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't like he was very few and far between with what he was saying. One nice thing about this, though, it does have mumble mode.
Well, it has, but yeah, go ahead.
But you're still taking the core foundation of this game that has all of this acting dialogue and including mumbles. Right. So, like, are you really changing so much in the game that's going to, like, is it two games in one? No.
Right.
You're just adding mumbles over what you've already pre-established.
I agree with you. And that's the problem. Like, mumble mode as an option is good, in my opinion. But from some of the cutscenes that I've seen in review footage and gameplay footage, they're built around, they're staged and directed around scenes that have dialogue driving them. So if you remove the dialogue, you still have, you know, blocking and character action delivered through that. And I worry if I'm, when I get a chance to sit down and play it, is it going to actually neuter things? Whereas in the games that we just talked about, they were like, they're not going to talk. The Darth Vader, Luke, I am your father. They're not going to talk. So we have to make it visually driven. And I think that's a little bit of a bummer. But they're doing what they're doing. It's already out there. It's gotten pretty decent reviews.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for.
I've seen two pretty good memes going around. The first one was from, I think it was How to Train Your Dragon, where it's like, you're as beautiful as the day I left you, or something like that. And it's the thing from, you know, 2007 to now.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the Ratatouille, where he's a kid eating Ratatouille, and now he's an adult eating Ratatouille.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it hits all the feels. It hits all the feels, and that's great. I'm really glad people have that, and I'm not trying to judge a game I haven't played. But the one thing that I'm curious to see if I will like is what you mentioned, you know, the new gunplay and fight mechanics, and something I don't think you mentioned, there's a lot of emphasis on stat building. Like, every character fits not just into classes, but classes with certain perks and stats that you have to gradually unlock.
So is this more of a family-friendly game anymore, or is it more of a hardcore game?
That's what I mean. And
now you've turned a Lego game into an RPG, pretty much.
You know, and hey, sometimes kids need that first entry point, you know, kids first RPG, kids first RTS, things like that. That's good.
That's why they got Elden Ring.
Sure, kids first Souls game, whatever that would be. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I liked the easy appeal, a pick up and go of the complete saga. And I just kind of worry, is this going to lose that in the transition of making it more in-depth?
We do know one thing, and that's, would you skip, play, beat, or complete Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga?
I say this game's absolutely worth beating, just because you're gonna get, you know, the cheese pizza, vanilla ice cream enjoyment of Star Wars. You know, it's something that, you know, everyone at least has a base level of appeal to. And like you said, you get kind of the purest injection of it through this game. It's easy to pick up, easy to play. And if you want to complete it, it takes some time, but it's not, it's never not pleasant. So I'll say at minimum, you should beat it. How about you, Josh?
I say you should beat it. Yes. I think you should go through and you should play through all six movies and play through an enjoyable version of the prequel trilogy. I think this is the most fun way to take in the prequel trilogy. It made me for a split second think, do I really like episode one? Right. And the part of it is like, listen, as a kid in 1999, I was 10, 11 years old. I loved episode one. Right. But I was so young and naive. And then I grew up and then I was like, man, that really wasn't a great movie. Right. Like, and then like, I remember, I think when episode two came out, I was the first time I ever remember going to movies going, I didn't like that.
Movies can be bad? What? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I really didn't like that. No, but I think playing through the six movies is an enjoyable way to experience it. It's a great way. This is okay. I'm going to break it down for you in another way, right? There's so many different spoofs variants of Star Wars, from earlier on with the Muppets, to the Muppet Babies, to the Simpsons, the Futurama, to
Spaceballs,
Family Guy, to all of them, right? There's so much out there. This is Lego's version of it. And this is a great Lego interpretation of the six Star Wars movies. And I think you should play through it just to see how great Lego's interpretation is.
Hella charming, hella playable, lots of cool stuff, and it's just a fun time. And at this point, like I said, you can get it really cheap. I rebought it. I had to rebuy it to play it for this episode. $20. $20 on most markets, and it usually goes on sale.
I had to open up my factory sealed copy.
Oof. You should have asked me. You should have asked me. But
yes, Tom, I need you to drive 3 hours over to my house.
Oh, no. I meant like you should have asked me where I got it. I would just be like, yo, Steam or Xbox, man.
No. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And we will see you in the future. While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. This show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, or future of gaming, check out Bad Elephant Gaming on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And don't forget to watch our other videos on YouTube, where we bring you gaming experiences you'll never forget.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun. Come chat with us anytime at twitch.tv/badelephantgaming.
Thanks for listening.
And until next time, we'll see you in the future.